Beatles, of course, uber alles. They're the top and untouchable, greatest of all time.
Welcome to Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff, where we interview newsmakers, storytellers, and all-around interesting people. Sit back, relax, unless you're driving, and enjoy the show. Here's Jackson.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Jackson Huff. This is Not in a Huff. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, really appreciate it. This week, speak with Charles Rosenay. Now, Charles is a man of many, many talents. We talk about so, so many different things today. We're going to talk about his tours all over the world when it comes to the Beatles, when it comes to horror movies. We're going to talk about the books that he's written about the Beatles and horror movies and the Turtles, which is another band. We're going to talk just about how he's made a life out of helping people understand pop culture. You know, he's got these tours to Romania and London. He's got these books. He's also got several conventions, so many more than I can even possibly name right now. He's going to shout a lot of them out. He's going to shout out a ton of different websites to check those out. But we're just going to talk about all things entertainment, all things pop culture. We'll touch on the Beatles a little bit. We'll touch on his love of the Turtles, which is another 60s band. We'll touch on the world of horror movies and why he's created all of these different conventions that he has about that and about celebrities. And it's almost hard to encapsulate exactly what we're going to talk about today. But it's a really fun ride with Charles. I think you're really, really going to enjoy this conversation. I really, really enjoyed speaking with him. If this is your first time listening or you haven't already, go leave that 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Leave a written review on Apple. Helps a ton. Follow along on Instagram and TikTok, Not Enough Podcast, on Facebook, Not Enough Jackson Huff. Lots of places to follow along. I think you're going to enjoy this one. It's, like I said, it's hard to tell you what it's about, but it's about pop culture. And it's about a guy doing really, really amazing things in that space. Here is Charles Rosenay. Mr. Rosenay, how are you?
I'm great, Mr. Huff. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I appreciate you joining me. If you would, do the heavy lifting right out of the gate. Just introduce yourself.
Charles Rosenay, originally from the Bronx, now in Connecticut, producer of many festivals and conventions and events, author of 4 pop culture books, and just all around nice guy. Checking in to say hello and talk about all the fun stuff I do.
And you do a lot of stuff. We're gonna do our best to highlight those things. Yeah, I mean, I guess let's start with conventions. You organize quite a few conventions. I know that you've had a busy last few months because I think that you've had several different conventions that you've organized, and they kind of go in the world, two different kind of areas.
Yes.
In the world of music history and paranormal. Tell us just a little bit about, I guess, your life as a convention organizer.
Yeah. It's really funny because I didn't know which background to sit in front of today. I got my Beatles British flag one and I got the paranormal one, but I'm in a little bit of more of a paranormal mode. You know, I've always been a horror fan and a Beatles fan. Growing up, it was always rock and roll and monster movies. And never thinking that I would, you know, turn that into more of the things that I do on a professional level, for lack of a better word. It's not my moneymaker. I'm a DJ. I'm an entertainer. I do parties, and that's what brings in the dough. But all my side stuff is the stuff that I have very passionate about, the books and the conventions. And I also do tours, but they're all connected like to the two sides, to the music and rock and roll and Beatles, and to the monsters horror, which is sort of recently transitioned more or less into the paranormal stuff. For years, I produced Beatle festivals and conventions, for decades, not for years, and always have fun with that. And you mentioned some things past. We did our big annual festival back in May, and it was real fun. We do that in Connecticut. I don't know exactly when we're airing, but in August, I do an annual Beatles tour to Liverpool. We do the Magical History Tour every single summer, but we go in August because that's when it's Beatle Week there in England. And I've got this great paranormal convention coming up in Salem, Massachusetts. The one in Connecticut, which I do every year, just passed. That was in July. In Salem, we do it every year at Salem State University. You know, Salem, home of the witches, found a way to bring a paranormal world-class convention to this town where everything else is very witch-oriented, and it's just an amazing show at Salem State University in the middle weekend of August, of November every year.
Yeah, so we know that you dabble in both, but I guess what sparked that interest? You just grew up and loved the Beatles and loved paranormal and decided to kind of follow those, or why have you taken it as far as you have?
My parents loved getting me into things. They got me into baseball and they got me into, collecting. They were real hoarders in the day where there was no such word. And they would, we'd get the TV guide and we'd look through what's going to be on. A 5 years old, 4 years old, and they're saying, "Gotta get you into these monster movies. You're going to love Frankenstein." There's Frank behind me. Hey, Frank. This big thing is coming on the Ed Sullivan Show. They're called The Beatles, and you got to watch this. So, I mean, they were cool. They had me old later in life, so I thank God I was the world to them, and they wanted me, as I do with my kids, to love everything that I love. I want my kids to love, and my parents wanted the same thing. And mom was fanatical about monster movies. She just ate them up. She loved them. And dad, went along for the ride, but he was real musical and a great dancer. And so I think that my love of the Beatles and the monsters came from my folks. My first memories in life are seeing the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show and watching Bride of Frankenstein with my mom late night.
That's really awesome. And you already mentioned the tours. I know that you said that you have one coming up in August, that magical history tour of Liverpool.
Yes.
And then you also do a Dracula tours to Transylvania. I was going to ask whether they were virtual tours or they're in person. It sounds like you actually go places.
The real deal, baby. We bring people to London and Liverpool every summer on the Beatles Magical History Tour. The website is www.liverpooltours.com. And we've been doing that, as I mentioned, for decades. And for about 27 years, we've been doing the Dracula Tour to Transylvania. Real deal. We actually bring folks to Romania. And we follow in the footsteps of when the Beatles won, we follow in the footsteps of the Beatles. But in the Dracula one, we follow in the footsteps of Jonathan Harker from the novel Dracula. And we do, it's a mix. And we mix the legend and the fiction fun of Dracula with the truth, the history, and actuality of Vlad Tepes, Vlad the Impaler, who was, an amazing Romanian, from a better word, general. He took care of his country and made sure they were safe. But we do that, and everything we do, we want to make informative. We want people to go to places they might never have gone to in their lives otherwise, and make it fun. I do, as you mentioned, the paranormal stuff, and I'm part of a paranormal team. Thomas Gormley and myself are the shaman and the showman, and he's the real deal. Jackson, he's a medium, he's an empath, he's all of the above. I'm the showman. I just want to have people to have fun. I want them to be entertained. I do stuff that I myself, if I wasn't producing, would go to, whether it's a Beatles tour, a Dracula tour, a Beatle festival, horror convention, a paranormal convention. This is all stuff that's part of my DNA that I love to attend. So putting it on myself, I know at least I'm putting in the right elements that I would love, and hopefully the people who attend and go on the tours and are part of would also love.
What does it look like? Obviously, you're bringing these people along, you're getting them to travel across the world. What does it look like to, I guess, research for these things? You've been doing it so long, I'm sure you've got it down pat, but how did you make sure that you created a tour that wasn't just fun, but actually had things worth listening to?
That's a really great question. So I partnered up in England with the Cavern City Tours, who own the Cavern Club in Liverpool and who, know the ground a lot better than I do. And in order to jump into it, I had to have done that research, and I had to have gotten those partners in Romania, the same thing, Atlantic Tours. But for years, the Beatles tour I host, I go on it, I make sure everyone has a good time and everything runs smoothly. The Halloween tour to Transylvania is in October, where I run haunted houses and I do conventions, I do so many other things. So I can't host those anymore. I did that for 12 years. And then handed over the reins to a Romanian version of me. His name is Radu, and he's energetic like I am. He gets the monsters part of it, but he's also a professor, a historian. So you walk in, you want to know the lore of Dracula and Vlad, he'll tell you that, but he'll also tell you the Wallachia history. He'll tell you what it's like going up Gorgo Pass to the Carpathian Mountains and how they are now as opposed to how they were 300 years ago. And the castles we visit, he gives you the history. So he's the best of every world in that he's so knowledgeable, but also gets the making sure everyone has a good time too. But yeah, I had to research all that. I can't just, you know, say, okay, I'm doing a tour to Romania. I've never been there. It's a third world country. Let's see what happens. I put a lot of in-depth research into it, got the right partners. And in fact, the people who go on that Dracula tour have had such a great time. We're talking about, you know, close to three decades of that. And he's, Charles, we love this, but, you know, you're not going to go back to Romania. Can't you do another type of tour? I said, okay, I never say no to stuff. And I started doing ghost tours, which we called Ghost Tour with one T. So if you go to ghostour.com, you'll find we're doing one to England coming up next summer, next July. And we've been doing that. I'll tell you how long I've been doing that. Probably 20 years where we've taken people to England, Scotland, Ireland, Cuba, Israel, Romania, Hungary, Eastern Germany, Prague, Czech Republic. I'm probably forgetting some, but these are places that I thought would make for great haunted tours, and did exactly what you asked. Did the research before, found some companies I could work with that will handle, you know, the coaches, that will handle the admissions. I do all the hotels. I do all the flights. Most of the time we're all flying together as a group, staying together as a group, and just coming back and having the greatest time, to the point that people say, okay, what's next? They want to know what's next year's destination. I got to do research. Well, will it be Egypt? Will it be, no, not safe. Will it be Italy? Will it be Paris? You know, I go through the checklist. And if it's affordable and I can work out with the right partners, I keep adding tours every year.
You got any rock star people that has been on darn near every tour that you've done?
When you say rock star, I've had people who've been on my Beatles tour close to 40 times. So they're rock stars in my eyes. As far as real rock stars, I got to tell you, I did something in 2010 called Rock Con, Weekend of 100 Rock Stars. Now, I don't know if you're into Comic Cons and if you're into that kind of stuff, but this was the Comic-Con version for rock and roll people. We had one of the Beach Boys, one of the Supremes. We had, you know, members of all these bands and individuals like Tommy James. And if I mention names, you know, you could Google them and say, oh my God, these are really big names in rock and roll. And we had 100 of them. Weekend of 100 rock stars. And when you mentioned, you know, do I ever get rock stars? Well, we really did get rock stars at that weekend event. Unfortunately, I lost a lot of money. I overpromoted and didn't have deep enough pockets, or else I think that would have continued and been up there, just like you hear New York Comic Con, San Diego, the biggest ones in the world. I think my rock con would have been the same thing, but I had too much going on. I couldn't focus on just the one thing.
What is that sweet spot? How do you make sure that you're doing things that, you know, you're not going to lose money at, but still provide a first-class experience?
It's a great question. I just did the Connecticut Paracon and realized after I looked at all my guests that were coming, we brought in Eddie Munster and Butch Patrick as a legacy guest, and flying them in and putting them up and his cost. And I looked, I said, you know what? I'm not going to make money on this one, but we'll give the people a great time. I'll have a great time. The vendors will make money. I'll sell some copies of I have a ghost book, you know, where better place than at a paranormal convention. And it'll feed off onto something else. And at the time I started doing the Beatle tours, I was publishing a magazine on the Beatles. I was doing the Beatle convention. So if one thing didn't click as it should have, it at least, you know, provided promotion for other things. So the Paracon I did, everyone who walked through the door got a promo card on my Witch Festival, which took place beginning of August in Connecticut. They got a promo card on the Psychic Fair that I'm having in September coming up, first weekend in September. They got a promo card on the Salem Paranormal Convention, which is coming in November. member, but they also got information on the Dracula tour and on the Ghost tour. So if that broke even or I lost a little money, if a few people go on the Dracula tour and take the flight with me, a few people go on Ghost tour, hopefully there's enough networking and branding and a reciprocation, if there's such a word, that it builds onto the other things I do. Does that make sense?
Oh, it certainly does, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. If nothing else, it's hopefully will help draw people to other things. And you've got so many other things going. It's kind of a good thing there. I want to transition, I guess, back a little bit to the world of music. You talked already about the Beatles. I know that you also really enjoy the Turtles as well. What about those two bands, I guess, drawn you in so much? Obviously, the Beatles, tons of people love the Beatles. You know, they're one of the biggest bands of all time. Yeah. The Turtles are very big as well, but not even close to the same level. What drew you to those two bands other than that both, I guess, animal bands?
Oh, no. Well, there's a third animal band that will fit the answer I'm going to give you, and that's the Monkees. There was bands, a million bands. Beatles, of course, uber alles. They're the top and untouchable, greatest of all time. We'll go along with that. But there were other groups that played great music. What I loved, Jackson, was a band that had a lot of personality and had a great sense of humor. If you saw them on stage, they're goofing. They're funny. They made you laugh. They drew you in beyond just the great songs. Beatles had greatest songs of all time, but they had a sense of humor. They were cheeky. They were funny. And personalities up the yin yang. Monkees, very, very similar. They were, second in that. The Turtles were, I think, the band that were never acknowledged enough. Monkees and the Turtles are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I think that the reason might be because they were so fun and such had sense of humor and they were on TV all the time that they were maybe considered like too comic booky or too, not serious enough, not FM radio, not album sales the Monkees certainly had album sales, but to be in the same respect level as the Beatles or the Stones or whatever band you want to bring out. I felt that there was not a Turtles book out that really served them properly. And there was nothing that did them justice that I hoped would help spark that maybe influence into getting them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It hasn't happened yet. I'm not giving up on it. I did, my Beatles book, 200 pages or so, because there's a million Beatle books out there. I got a nice niche. So I got 64 celebrities to give me their top 10 favorite Beatle lists, top 10 lists. And so I love Beatle lists. I love the Beatles. I mean, I love top 10 lists. I love the Beatles and I love celebrities. So that book was right in my, my alley. And anyone who loves celebrities, loves the Beatles, loves top 10 lists, it was the perfect book for them. And we still sell copies. I mean, it's one of those books that is evergreen, which means it's not timely and then it's done. www.bookoftop10beatleslists.com or on Amazon. With the Turtles book, it's nearly 600 pages. Because there wasn't that kind of an anthology. There wasn't that comprehensive book ever. And we didn't want to leave any stone unturned. My co-author and myself, Mark Arnold, who put out a lot of books. He's a very prolific author. We said, would the Turtles make sense? And we both jumped on it because we both love the band. And we did a little back and forth. We actually reviewed every single song the band put out. And we're talking about hundreds of songs where it was like Siskel and Ebert, he would say, well, I love it because the sound recording and such and such. I go, well, I kind of liked it, but it sounded too much like such and such. And we went back and forth with that, which is my favorite part of the book, but is probably, what's the word? A true, Turtles follower who's probably more studious than I am into the band's legacy probably found that the least exciting. They probably love the discography. They loved all the interviews we did. We'd interview just about everyone associated with the Turtles. They probably love the more scholarly articles in the book. But we called it, what's the most famous Turtle song? Happy Together, right? We call the book Not Just Happy Together. And notjusthappytogether.com is the website, and it's also available on Amazon. But people who've picked it up, who had like, all right, the Turtles, I know their one song, are blown away by the book because it gives so much information. Purist was the word I was looking for. If you're a Turtles purist, people who love and are the biggest Turtle fans love the book. And the people are just casual. They like music. They want to pick up a book on, rock and roll or a band they don't know about. also love this book, not just happytogether.com. And it's subtitled The Turtles A to Z, AM Radio to Zappa. Because what a lot of people don't know is they played with Frank Zappa. They played with Springsteen. It's a laundry list of on and on of the people they played with. They're very prolific as well. And also just hysterical in true life and on stage.
Without giving away, you know, $2.99 worth of the book, what's some interesting facts about the Turtles?
They played the White House. Hmm. They were not in my book, but I'll share with you that they were banned from Sirius Radio. I don't know if they still are, because I actually heard one of their songs on a 60s show, but for years they were banned. The two guys grew up together, went high school together, the two main leads. They wrote and I think performed the title song from the Larry Shandling show, Larry Sanders show, Gary Shandling. They did cartoons. A lot of what's great about the book is discovering just what you're asking, why, you know, the beyond those great pop top 40 songs. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like they, now even now, are very big on trying to, you know, keep those 60s, 70s bands' legacies together. I'm sure, you know, as much as you're into the Turtles, you've been to one of their iterations of that, you know, the Happy Together tour that they do, and you know, they kind of the headliners, but they also bring in a lot of 60s and 70s bands to sing a few songs. You've been to that, I'm sure, right?
Every season I go, and it's pure fun. And I'm dear friends with Ron Dante, who shares the lead singing for the Turtles, Gary Puckett. We're all good friends, and it's just great to see them. Thank God they're alive and still performing. You know, people say, hey, should I go see Ringo? Yeah, you don't know if you're going to have a chance, you know, in the future. Anyone who's a legacy act and of a certain age, I mean, we just lost Sly Stone from Sly and the Family Stone, Brian Wilson, Lou Christie, Joey Mollen, the last member of Badfinger. I don't know how deep you are into this, into rock and roll, but, and if you've seen the Happy Together tour, it's pure fun. It's songs that you know that you can sing along to. And yeah, I wholly recommend any of your viewers, any listeners, to go see that tour when it's that show, if it ever tours in your neighborhood.
Yeah, it comes to, I haven't been, I plan on going this year. I haven't been, but it comes to our state fair every year for free. So
I need to, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I also completely agree that you got to see all these people before they're no longer touring, for sure. About 2 months ago, I went and saw Frankie Valli. Yeah, he's 92 years old, but I mean, he's not going to be touring much longer. I'm surprised he's still touring.
Well, he's being wheeled out there. I don't know how much of his singing is happening, but God bless him. Yeah, it's great that he's keeping his face in the public and the Four Seasons song alive. That's one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, well, without going too much into that, yeah, I don't think any of it is real singing, but at least you get to sing.
Yes.
You've already talked about kind of organically a little bit about the books, but I want you to actually tell us, I think you've got four books. Tell us all four books, the names. You've already talked about their websites, but just throw those out there again.
Well, there's a sign behind me. The book of Top 10 Horror Lists was actually my first book. I got 100 celebrities to give me their top 10 favorite lists, whether it was their favorite movies, their favorite horror scenes, their favorite actors and actress, favorite themes, anything that they felt would make sense in a book like this. I got, you know, 100 celebrities, from baseball's Dave Winfield to Boris Karloff's daughter, Sarah Karloff, on and on and on. It's monsters, celebrities, actors, athletes, and rock stars, the book of Top 10 Horror Lists. That was my first. Very proud of it. If anyone wants, I got to throw the plug. Take off the word the, and it's bookoftop10horrorlists.com. or on Amazon. Follow up was the Beatles version of that. Same thing, the book of top 10 Beatles lists. The website, take off the, and instead of 100 celebrities, it's 64 celebrities, because the Beatles sang "When I'm 64" and came out in 1964. The other two books, one we mentioned was the Turtles book, Not Just Happy Together, notjusthappytogether.com. And the fourth one is sort of a curveball, because it's not pop culture in these, but it's in my, you know, field, in that it's the True Ghost Stories of Connecticut. And it has a completely different website. It's www.paranormalconnecticut.com, but it's also on Amazon, but what's interesting, Jackson, is I always saw that there were the books in every sound. You mentioned your state fair. Every town has its scary supposed houses or businesses or theaters. There's legends of those. And you'll always, if you go to the library, you go to the bookstore, you'll see the ghosts of Columbus, Ohio, the ghosts of, Madison, Wisconsin, whatever that is. And you open it up and it'll tell you about this haunted place, may or may not still exist, and what happened that may. I'll add your photo, I'll add a bio of you. I wanted, and I went to the top paranormal people in Connecticut and in the surrounding areas. And I said, give me that wow moment. Give me that jaw dropper. Give me that one thing that stands out when someone says, what's the most scary thing that you've ever experienced? And that's what I wanted. And I got over 30 of those, added my own stories that, and I just, the only verification, the only criteria was that it had something to do with Connecticut and that it was true. And I think every state should have a similar book. I'm not up for that. I have too much on my plate. But maybe you could do yours. Every state should have that, because that interests me much more than the local legends that, of a place that might have been knocked down in 1958, but had a scaring in 1930. And I'm working on the second volume of this because it's so well received and sells so well. I do a lot of libraries. As you can tell, I like to talk and I can go on forever. So I do a lot of libraries, sell a lot of the books at those libraries. But I'm working on a volume two of True Ghost Stories of Connecticut and other parts of New England, because I've gotten in some interesting stories of our neighboring states that I want to include in the volume two.
So, I mean, a good chunk of your books, other than maybe the Turtles one, deal with you bringing in opinions of other people. How have you about getting those? I mean, the paranormal, that just talking. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I feel like that would have maybe been an easier one because a lot of people like to share those stories. But
Right.
how did you get how did you approach these celebrities and stuff and get things out of them?
Well, the books are like my second act. If this was 10 years ago, I would never have done a book in my life, but something happened. It was called COVID. And I was home, like we all were, isolated, not being able to do tours, not being able to do my DJing, not being able to do in conventions, not being able to promoting anything. I was going out of my mind. What was I doing? I was teaching my kids the Four Seasons, the Supremes, the Turtles, the Monkees, the other stuff besides the Beatles, which I brainwashed them on early. I was showing them the classic horror movies. I was showing them Frankenstein, Dracula, Wolfman, and then we were watching, Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers. But they go to sleep at midnight, and I have nothing to do. I'm on my treadmill going crazy, thinking, what would Jackson Huff do? What would anyone do with this much time? And I thought, well, I know a lot of celebrities, and they're probably home, bored out of their minds. They're not touring, they're not out there doing movies. So I reached out my list, my Rolodex, my online, what used to be a Rolodex, and I reached out and said, hey, would you give me a top? So I reached, a guy from the band Vanilla Fudge, and I said, hey, I need a top 10 list from you. And he goes, sure, we want, what do you want? The top 10 guitarists of all time, the top 10 heavy metal bands? I go, no. I want your top 10 favorite horror movies. He goes, really? They were so excited that they could give this list. And some of them just sent the list. I go, no. I need your reasons why. Just the list is going to be pretty boring. You picked The Exorcist. What's the reason why? Well, it was the first movie that scared me so much I had to leave the theater. I wanted that other subtext as to why they did. And once I got that in place, that book came out pretty, it took, maybe a year or two. I kind of had my own groundwork to know how to put together a book proficiently and quicker. And everyone was saying, hey, how dare you, Mr. Beatle guy, put out a horror list book before a Beatles book. So what I do, I did a similar Beatles book, and I went to the well, and I went to a lot of the similar people and asked them for lists, and I got those lists. But it was actually a little tougher because COVID was winding down, and people were back to their movies and back to playing baseball if they're athletes or doing all the things they did. So it was a little tougher, took a little longer. But like you said, the ghost book, that was pretty easy. The toughest one was probably the Turtles one, because it required my and my co-author's research. I love being a compiler. I love gathering lists from other people and, you know, editing it, making sure they sound right, making sure their grammar is correct, putting in their photo. That's easy for me to do. I'm working on 4 books right now at the same time for the future. Who knows, I'll get to all of them. And none of them are compilation books except the True Ghost Stories sequel. And it's taking a long time. I, you know, if I did nothing else, if I put everything else aside, didn't do podcasts, didn't do my festivals, conventions, didn't do my paranormal investigations, didn't DJ on weekends, and just, you know, dedicated to the books, I could probably get them all out in a few years, but they're getting, it's slower and taking longer. But hopefully someday, and I'll come back to you and say hello and tell you the new books I got.
Yeah, Noel, I look forward to it. You put a kind of nice little bow on things. I talk to people occasionally that just have so many things that we could probably do an entire podcast on all your different things. And we've just barely scratched the surface. But I think that, you know, we've gotten a kind of a nice little look at who Charles Rosenay is. but, you know, just the surface. So you shout out all those books, some of those conventions, you know. Definitely, we'll put some links in the show notes to some of the things that you've covered. But you know, as hard as it is, because you got so much going, just in wrapping things up, a few things that you want to make sure that the listeners yeah. know and take away.
The websites I didn't mention were the Beatles tour that I do is www.liverpooltours.com. Every August we go to London, Liverpool. The Dracula tour is DracTours.com, www.dractours, DracTours.com. And that's every October. We still have space for this year. The Ghost Tour next year, England, that's in July. I mentioned a website, but I'll get a different one that's easier to remember, is toursofterror.com. And we're doing all of England, not just London. Oh, Salem. I didn't mention a website for that. So that's in November, Salem, Massachusetts. 2 days at the Salem State University, www.salem, S-A-L-E-M, para, P-A-R-A, con, salemparacon.org, not com, .org. That's the only different one.
You're better than me. You've remembered way more websites than I feel like I have the capacity. So,
well, thank you. No, it's been a pleasure being able to churn them out and talk about some of the fun things that I do. And thank you for asking such great questions. Hopefully people will see it in the notes. And if they're interested, just contact me and I'll send information. People say, is there one social media place we can find you? And I just say, well, my last name is Rosenay, R-O-S-E-N-A-Y. Google it, go on Facebook, somehow you'll find it and you'll see endless list of the stuff I'm doing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So that was Charles Rosenay. What an amazing conversation. What an amazing guy. I mean, he has got so much going on, so much that he's had to kind of farm out some of the help. He's found some really great people to help with his tours, but you know you're doing something right if you've expanded so much that you've got to bring other people in. So I really, really appreciate Charles joining me to talk about all things pop culture, from his love of, you know, horror movies, from his love of music and the Turtles and the Beatles and, you know, basically the Universal Monsters, all kinds of really, really awesome stuff. Urge you to check out all things Charles, all things conventions and tours that he's got going on. He shouted out a ton of websites. I'll try to put as many as possible in the show notes that I can. Go check out one of his conventions. Go on one of his tours if you want to do that. I really think that you're going to enjoy anything that Charles has to offer. Go check out his books. I forgot to even mention that. He's got all these books. If nothing else, go get a book from him about the Beatles, if that's something you're interested in, about scary movies, if that's what you're interested in. I think that you're going to enjoy anything that Charles is offering. I certainly enjoyed our conversation. As I said in the beginning, if this is your first time listening or you haven't already, go leave that 5-star rating on Apple and or Spotify. Leave a written review on Apple. Helps a ton. Follow along on Instagram and TikTok. Not Enough Podcast is the handle. On Facebook, Not Enough Jackson Huff. Really appreciate you being here. Charles, appreciate you being here as well. We'll see you next time. Take it away, Chris.
This has been Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us next time, where we will interview another amazing guest who is sure to make you laugh or make you think, or hey, maybe even both. But until then, keep being awesome.